Blog Talk Radio.
For joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Hi, this is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here, hello, we're here at the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and Weekly.
Paranormal.com.
Weekly at liveparanormal.com.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. She rocks.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to the ghost host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30 Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to The Ghost Host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com. Boom!
This is Nick Groff, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickGroffTours.com. You are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com and now on ghosthunting.com, so you can listen at each format, and Spreaker has just been added too. So wherever you get your favorite podcast, the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com, and congratulations, Sophia, on celebrating over 12 years of broadcasting here on the network. And thank you, Rob Sarek, for providing this format each and every week, and our moderators. Thank you guys for patching us through at live events when we had no internet feed. Thank you guys for all your support through the years. Any questions for our caps, feel free to jump in for our guests. Make sure they're all caps in the chat room. So feel free to jump in. It only takes a second to get an avatar, and you're part of the LP family. Feel free to call into the show, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. As our guest today, we welcome acclaimed best-selling authors Denise Agnew, Marie Jones, and Nicole Strickland as each promote their celebrated new release, Women on the Fringe, Groundbreaking Women in the Paranormal. everyone visit DeniseAAgnew.com, MarieDJones.com, NicoleSStrickland.com. Get your copy of Women on the Fringe today through Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. Next weekend, we have the new reality paranormal investigators, Sean Adam and Cody Dare. That'll be the 27th. Also, Ethereal Voices Paranormal lead investigator, Richard Johnson, will be on the program on June 8th. We have a lot of other guests who are securing their spots right now, so we'll be adding those too. So, like the ghost host Sophia Temporelli on the Facebook fan page to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. We post them there as soon as we learn. And also like lightparanormal.com Facebook group page. Check out the membership packages. They start as low as $2.99 a month. And Rob's the site founder. He's great at rewarding the audience. A lot of autographed books by some of your favorite paranormal authors. He's great with the giveaways here for the members. And support the vendors here on Live Paranormal. Tonight, starting on Live Paranormal at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghost Light Radio, as well as Chip Coffee of Kindred Spirits. He's here Mondays monthly, as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Coppett, Ken Gearhard, and many more here on this very network. If you miss anything, archive shows are available as free MP4 iTunes downloads on the homepage of liveparanormal.com and ghosthunting.com. And let's bring on the host here, Sophia. Congratulations on over 12 years of broadcasting here.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been 12 years.
You're doing a fantastic job. You've helped a lot of people through the years on your show. You are actually featured in this book, Women on the Fringe, Groundbreaking Women in the Paranormal. How cool is that?
Yeah, it's really cool. I can't thank the authors enough for having me in the book. It's amazing to be shown alongside so many amazing women in the field.
And you have a unique moment here to actually do that in a minute here on the show. And also congratulations, you're in the next issue of Ghosted Magazine, which is ghostedmagazine.com, and your story's featured there as long as promoting this book. So how cool is that?
It's a lot of fun. I mean, Ghosted is an amazing magazine. I'm in their Pennhurst issue, which is super cool to be alongside an asylum. Most people wouldn't say that, but as a paranormal investigator, it's pretty cool. So, yeah, it's really exciting.
Yeah, the Pennhurst Asylum, there you are, right there, nestled in there in the pages of Ghosted Magazine. But you got the Twitters, the Instagram, you got this, all the stuff you kids have these days. Where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Sophia Temporelli with one L, and Instagram just at Sophia Temporelli.
Yeah, we cursed you with a long name. So just one L for Temporelli. You'll be able to find her on there and stuff. And check out the new YouTube postings as well. Tell us about your guest.
Today we welcome acclaimed best-selling authors Denise Agnew, Marie Jones, and Nicole Strickland as each promote their celebrated new release, Women on the Fringe, Groundbreaking Women in the Paranormal. You guys can get your copies today through Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, and let's welcome them into the show.
All right. That usually means a lot of people are listening in. I'm trying to unmute their lines. And Denise, Marie, and Nicole, we have all three of you in there with Sophia. Thanks for coming on.
Yay. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you guys for coming on today.
Thank you for having us so much. Thank you.
I can't believe this is the first time I've ever been on your show, Sophia.
I know.
We're thrilled to be here. And I have to say hi. This is Marie. I have to say hi to Rob. He's so awesome. I haven't talked to him in ages.
Cool.
Rob's there, but he's awesome. But thank you. This is cool.
Well, thank you guys so much for featuring me in the book as well. I mean, it's really amazing to be a part of the book and get to read the stories of so many other women in the field.
Yeah,
absolutely.
There's no way we could not have had you. You just kind of, you had to be in the book, let's put it this way, with your background. And
well, thank you. And, I mean, to start off, I mean, there are so many incredible women in the field. I mean, many that people are aware of and many that people aren't. But what inspired each of you to initially come up with the book and collaborate on writing it?
Well, I'll start with that one. Actually, it's been a couple of years, which is so mind-blowing. When I go back into emails that, originally when we were working on it, It's like, it's been a couple of years since we started. I think I was in a conversation with Nicole because we know each other well, and Denise
yeah.
and I do too. But I don't know. We just were like, oh, we should do a book together. I don't quite remember the exact steps that happened, but it was like, oh, let's, you know, why don't we do something about women in the paranormal? And then we brought Denise in because Denise and I write screenplays and novels together. Actually, we just wrote our second, I guess, after this nonfiction book. And we were like, this is so cool. This is so cool. We had a publisher at the time who wanted to make it into an academic book, and we didn't want to. We wanted this mm-hmm. to be just a celebration of women. So we just started making the plans, and it's like a lot of it, you know, publishing it ourselves, we were just sort of learning as we went along. And we started putting the call outs to women, and we didn't necessarily want, like, the most quote-unquote famous women that are on TV, what have you. We really wanted to focus on women that are just doing this incredible work, but they mm-hmm. may not get that same attention as, you know, the super big stars.
For sure. I mean, like I said, it's amazing to, you know, highlight the women in the paranormal that aren't as heard, you know, from Travel Channel or anything like that, and get to learn more about their work and what inspired them to initially start in the paranormal.
Yeah. Exactly.
Absolutely.
And we,
yep.
yeah, and there's enough women to do another volume, you know.
We feel
bad because we'll see women on our Facebook like, oh, my God, we didn't ask so-and-so. But we did put the call out for quite a while, and we did contact people personally, and, you know, we had to get the book out. We wanted to get it out in March with International Women's Month in mind, so.
Yeah, perfect time for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. So when you guys say that you have enough stories for another volume, are you guys thinking of planning another groundbreaking Women in the Paranormal book?
I don't know.
Doing it yet.
This is
like, well, maybe.
This is a lot of work. We'll see. We'll see how well it does. And, you know, we're trying now to find a way to maybe pitch it for a TV series. But, yeah, I mean, it's just amazing how many women either weren't able to participate at the time, or we just kind of, like, oh, forgot to ask her, or, oh, yeah, you know. And so who knows? Never say never, but.
We'll see how things go. And it's just such – the women that are in the book, you know, it's like I believe, you know, the universe works in weird ways. And the women that are in this book, we're supposed to be in it. And we're so excited. It's really received some amazing feedback so far.
Yeah.
We're so happy to have you, Sophia. And congratulations on, 12 years now? That's amazing. I was on your show, I think, 10 years ago when you just, shortly after you just started. And I'm like, wow, it's been so long. So congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It'll be 13 years in June, so I'm coming
wow.
up on that.
Oh, my gosh.
That's incredible. And the fact that you started so young is just amazing. I mean, at that age, most of us are like, you know, focusing on what we're going to wear to school the next day. And here you are doing this. I mean, that's just incredible. And so those are the stories that we really wanted to tell.
I was a Catholic, so I didn't really have to worry about what I was wearing in school the next year.
Oh, same here. Same here.
Yeah.
Yep. Same here.
Yeah.
Remember that.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy looking back on stuff. I was talking to my cousin the other day, and he was like, oh, like, how long have you been doing this? Because he knows I started young, and I've, like, had to try and, like, do the math on how long I've been in the paranormal. It's, like, coming up on 17 years.
Oh, my God.
To the point where I actually have yeah, I like have to do math now. It's like so
that's
long
some...
I'm having to do math, so I'm like, oh God.
I love it. Oh my gosh.
But speaking of beginnings and everything paranormal, for each of you, what really got your interest in the field of the paranormal? Was it an experience? Was it, you know, just having an interest in the shows? What initially sparked that for each of you?
I'll go third.
For me,
Denise, go, ahead, go for it. Your alphabetical order.
Oh, okay.
First.
There you go.
Oh, okay. I think for me, I was interested since I was a little kid. There's no time when I can think of when I wasn't interested in the paranormal. It was just a natural thing for me, and my parents are very liberal about allowing me to watch, you know, anything on TV and read books that I wanted to. They didn't really put any filters on that. And so I read a lot of the stuff that other kids my age were not allowed to read and watch on TV. And so way back then in the 70s, of course, there was a lot less to choose from, you know, in comparison to now. And so the amount of content, if you want to call it that now, is really thrilling for me. There's so many cool things to explore in terms of entertainment and fiction and nonfiction. And so for me, there was that. And then there were a few experiences that I had as a child that I couldn't really classify, couldn't really understand what was going on. And at that time, I didn't realize that some of it was psychic, some of it was mediumship. And so it took me a long time to figure that out. And so I've just been doing it since then and reading all the things and doing all the things I can, getting into paranormal investigation and the mediumship and a lot of other things.
Definitely.
Awesome.
And how about for the rest of you?
I guess are we going in alphabetical order?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay,
let's do that.
I know, it's so much easier. This is Marie. So similar to Denise, yeah, ever since I was like a toddler, I was really into alien. I mean, UFOs are my big thing. But I also loved ghosts. And I remember when I was really young telling my mom that I saw Bigfoot in the woods behind our house. This was before, I mean, I was born in 1961. So you want to talk about doing some math? This was, you know, mid to late 60s. And there really wasn't anything on TV at the time that I can think of. I know In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy came out much later. And I'd go to the library and I'd take out tons of books on nature, but also on ghosts and aliens. And one thing that I can really think of is when I was really young, probably about 7 years old, my dad was a scientist. He was a geophysicist. And he used to get at our house, we lived in New York, he used to get together with other scientists from different fields, like oceanographer, you know, marine biology, astrophysics, whatever. There's this little group, they would come over and they'd smoke cigarettes and play poker at the kitchen table. And I would sit at my dad's, like, by his leg on the floor and listen to them because they would talk about UFOs. And later, you know, when I got a little older, he would tell me how those are things they could never talk about at work, quote unquote, or in the halls of academics. My dad was a professor for a while. So they talked about it on their own. And we had a neighbor across the street who was a fireman, and he was a total believer. So I kind of was immersed in this stuff. And, you know, I had some experiences, nothing direct where I, you know, was abducted, at least not that I know of, or saw a full, you know, apparition. Mm-hmm. But I would have enough weird things happen over the years that I just stayed roped in. And coming again from, you know, being the daughter of a scientist, I really became obsessed with trying to find possible links. And my dad, you know, we talked about this a lot, between science and the paranormal, and how science might one day, if not, you know, already in some aspects, explain paranormal phenomena. So that's it. It's like from being really young. Like, I don't know why.
Fantastic. Yeah, you know, my story too mirrors Denise and Marie's in the sense when I was just very, very young, I just had this natural curiosity about the unknown. And as far back as I can remember, I think the earliest experience that I had that I can remember, I was about 4 or 5. So I would have these experiences growing up. And like Marie and Denise, I would get my hands on books that talk about anything paranormal. And so that interest in just watching documentaries and TV shows and reading books and whatnot, anything on the paranormal. And so that stayed with me growing up, even throughout, you know, elementary, middle, and high school. And I had these experiences. And then for me, the most profound encounter occurred when I was in college, and I had a very beautiful experience with my grandmother's spirit. And that really got me started actually out working in the field, so working in the trenches. And ever since then, it's just been this innate curiosity and working in the field and learning from others. And so my interest, I'm interested in all different branches of the paranormal. My main interest has always just been with ghosts and haunted locations. And then within the last few years, I've started to branch off and doing more like afterlife research, so study of human consciousness after death, near-death experiences and that sort of thing. So it just naturally progressed as it was supposed to. And here we are with this amazing book. And I've said this before, I'm going to get mushy. I'll get mushy again. I've always admired Denise and Marie. I think they're fantastic researchers and authors. So it's really an honor to be a part of this with them and all the women in the book. So we salute all the women in the book. And so it's an amazing experience.
Yeah. Right back at you.
I get mushy. Right, oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. Anywho.
Well, it is weird, like you said, how things kind of come together, because if you gals remember, you know, we did have a publisher lined up. And when that fell through, we were like, oh, no, you know, should we just ditch the whole idea? But I think something really pulled us towards, you know, let's just do this ourselves, because these stories are incredible. You know, they need to be heard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're stubborn. We have a tendency, all three of us, I think, to not give up on stuff.
Yeah, I think that's totally
paranormal, too. Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, because we're interested in subjects that a lot, as I've said before in other podcasts, that women are always looked at as the people who are the paranormal investigators, especially because TV has influenced how it looks to people. And a lot of people don't realize that women are all of those things that we see the men being on TV and more. So it's refreshing. And I think it means that those women, just like us three, we're pretty stubborn. We don't give up on something just because it's not looked at in quite a way that women, quote unquote, are supposed to do or supposed to follow.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
I think that's a good part of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well said.
Definitely. Yes. I mean, I think that's the thing, too, is shining a light on women and their role in the paranormal and how it differs from portrayal on TV. You know, it is such a largely male-dominated field and has been for many years. I mean, that's shifting more in recent times, but it's great to, you know, show women who have been through the field throughout all of that, throughout all of the changes in the field, throughout, you know, everything that's happened.
You know, we wanted to show too how these women are down in the trenches. You know, they're getting their hands dirty and they're doing the work, they're doing the research, they're doing what they love to do, whether they get the attention or not. Again, I think like for you and like for all of us and every woman in the book, I don't like the word obsession. It's just something that we do or that we have to do. So that was just really cool to see how, you know, how some of these women, they just get out there and they do what they're going to do regardless of what other people think or family members or, you know, society, people on Facebook.
And
they're just
stories
amazing.
Are so different. Yeah, they're so amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, I mean, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead, Sophia, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, on the lines of obsession, too, I mean, one thing I've said from living in a haunted house, that even if I chose to leave the paranormal today, it will always stay with me. I mean, those experiences in a haunted house are basically burned into my being, so
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where it's like, it stays with you forever, whether you leave or stay. So, I mean, I'm like, I already got the trauma. I might as well stay.
Yeah, it's like ingrained in you. It's like part of you, you know, and your story too, sharing that, you know, that's going to be so helpful for people that too have had that experience growing up in, you know, a paranormally active house. So your story is very, very helpful to people. But that, you know, just every single story is so unique and different. And each woman has, you know, her own way of doing something. And so you can see their passion, you see their experience really shine through their work. And obviously the stories that they wrote. So we're very proud of it.
Yeah, and it's really cool that they're, you know, from all over the country. We didn't announce for international women. Probably would have been difficult to do that. So just seeing these different women around the country, and, you know, a lot of them focusing on things that are active in their area. For example, you know, the Skunk Ape and Bigfoot and certain locations where people do tours or they do a lot of investigations. It was really kind of cool for me because a lot of these places I've never been to. And it's like, oh, wow. You know, every state has this really cool stuff going on. And there's women out there trying to, you know, trying to solve maybe an unsolvable mystery, but getting us closer, you know, to understanding what's going on.
Some of the ladies that are in this book, I had not had the honor of meeting before in any way. And so it's been an education for me, not knowing some of the ladies that Nicole and Marino, about some of the things that they're doing out there that I hadn't heard of before. And I kind of almost felt like I heard it all in a way, since I have been, as Marie said, you know, I was born in 1962, so we're about the same age. I was thinking, I know, I've seen it all, right? And this book.
We're old timers.
Yeah, we just feel old on that one. I think I should speak for myself probably, but, you know, I felt like I'd seen it. And these ladies have proven it to me that I was wrong about that, but there's a lot of things that they're doing and talking about and experiencing that I had not heard of, so it's been great.
Absolutely. And like you said, I mean, international women too, it'd be cool to hear their stories, so you guys kind of have a sequel lined up if you ever choose to.
I just popped that one out there. I don't know if that's on our radar, but like, oh, yeah, we don't have anybody from, like, you know, Vietnam or.
I can
imagine how they're treated. And, if, like, I think, you know, here people are more open-minded. Maybe there's some places like the UK that are probably equally open-minded, but there probably are a lot of places that are not for women that are doing this kind of work. So.
I mean, definitely, but also culturally, too. I mean, I'm Mexican, and then you have, like, Dia de los Muertos. So it's in a lot of the cultures, spirituality and the connection to the dead.
True. And how that influences. Yeah. Wait a second. I thought you were Italian. Isn't Temporary
Italian?
That's what I thought.
No. My father's adopted. He was adopted by an Italian immigrant. My mother's Mexican, and he's not a drop Italian. He was adopted. They said he was Italian. My grandfather, well, we found him through Ancestry recently, so I just found my grandfather. He's
That's
not a
cool.
drop Italian. I don't know where he got the idea that he was
Italian.
Oh, that's
funny.
My
whole family is Italian and Mexican.
I'm Italian too, even though my last name is Strickland. It's on my mom's side, but yeah, Temporelli, it sounds really Italian. Oh wow, that's so interesting. I love it.
Cool.
Yeah, my adoptive grandfather was Italian. My dad's not an ounce Italian, so it's pretty funny. But no, I'm Mexican on my mom's side. My great grandparents were from Chihuahua and Matamoros.
Wow. Amazing.
And I'm sure that those, like you said, I'm sure that, you know, your heritage, your upbringing, and the cultural beliefs and traditions probably have great impact on the things mm-hmm. that we were exposed to when we were young, like growing up in a mm-hmm. Catholic Italian family. It was all about, we were sort of fallen Catholics, but it was all about, you know, angels and saints and stuff like that. And I remember being fascinated by that when I was a kid, but I also felt like, okay, this is just one part of this huge universe, I guess, or realm of unexplained beings and things.
For sure. Well,
I'm the opposite of you ladies, only because I didn't grow up with any religious upbringing whatsoever. So it's kind of, what's been kind of interesting for me is that what that has sort of led me to do in terms of just general knowledge and also the paranormal is to study all the religions. And so when I was in college and stuff. So I think that was really a benefit in one respect, because I was able to look at it with kind of an open eye without having, you know, a lot of influence from the beginning. So it's helpful.
What's really cool is when you see all the common themes in all different religions and traditions, like, oh, okay, there must be something to this. You know?
Right. And all the ladies in the book, obviously, they come from a huge variety of backgrounds, and I think that's really eye-opening and helpful, too.
Definitely. And, I mean, speaking of the Italians, my adoptive grandfather actually used to guard the Pope in Vatican City, Rome. So,
oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I never met him. He actually, when my dad was younger, he started developing paranoid schizophrenia. So he moved out when he was younger. But he died in our haunted house. He wasn't the ghost haunting him. But I believe that those spirits in there kind of preyed on his belief system and his mental illness. So, you know, it all comes around to, you know, all of those things are intertwined in some way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's the kind of fascinating stuff that people may not know, you know, if they just listen to your show or read your books or see you on TV or something, is that they don't know these amazing stories that we all have in our backgrounds.
Yeah, it's definitely crazy to think about that. My grandfather guarded, my dad would know the Pope's name. I don't remember. I know he was called the Hitler Pope. That's all I can remember.
Oh, my God.
I don't know which one that was.
Oh, my God. The stories he must have had, you know what I mean? That's wow.
Yeah, that would have been a book right there. Wow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have family from, like, Rome and Sicily and Florence. My grandmother comes from northern Italy, and then my mom's side, and then my grandfather comes from Sicily, and his family are like Roman Sicily. So good old Italians, you know?
Yep. Well, we have a joke in our family that we got this. So my mom's maiden name is Leconte, which means the count. So they're related to some count from the past, but we're all like, well, he didn't leave us any money, you know? The wealth and power passed down the line, so...
No,
yeah, mine
here.
Was low
pinto. Eyeball.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's so intertwined, and I think internationally, you know, there probably are places that, you know, look down upon the paranormal, but there are also probably a lot of places, too, that maybe have it even more ingrained in their everyday life than even Americans do who are ghost hunters.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I lived in England for 3 years, my husband and I, and one of the things that I found really refreshing about the British and living in England for that, even that short amount of time, was how open they are to all of that. And certainly they have their skeptics and all of it, but it doesn't, it just seems like it, because I hate to say it, everything's old. So, you know, it's like when you live in the United States, you think of things that are 200 or 300 years as being old. But you go there, and when your husband's boss's house is 400 is older, you know, like 200 or 300 years older than the United States is, that kind of thing. It's, you can feel it when you're there. It's tangible, and I think they're used to it, obviously. And as an American, when you go there, I think you can, you know, especially if you're open to it and empathic, you can feel the difference. And I just like their attitude towards it. They're just more like, yeah, we have ghosts, and, you know, they'll talk to you about it, and they don't seem to hesitate nearly as much about talking about it, you know, just amiably with you. It's kind of cool. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that's cool.
That is refreshing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we went past a little bit because, I mean, it's so great getting to talk with you guys. But I know we have to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with more questions.
Yeah, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. And it is. This is one of those shows where the hour flies by. And, yeah, let's see. Today we're welcoming acclaimed best-selling authors Denise Agnew, Marie Jones, and Nicole Strickland. And they're both promoting and celebrating their new release, Women on the Fringe, Groundbreaking Women in the Paranormal. Everyone visit DeniseAAgnew.com, MarieDJones.com, NicoleSStrickland.com, and get your copy of Women on the Fringe today through Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And I will be right back with the late edition of the show.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the Paranormal Rockstar, and you're listening to The Ghost Coast with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on LiveParanormal.com.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
This is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it, you know. It's almost like we didn't leave break.
I'm trying to unmute right now. Sorry, I had a little coughing fit, and I want to thank you ladies so much, as we had to reschedule this show, as I actually gave Sophia what she caught, you know, the coughing fits and everything, and thank you for rescheduling. Thank you all.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I lost my voice entirely, so it would have been a very engaging show. But, yeah, thank you guys again for coming on today. You guys highlighted so many amazing women's voices in the paranormal, but I also want to be able to highlight you guys as individuals so you guys can share each of your works, too. Since you guys were starting out earlier in alphabetical order, Denise, do you want to tell the audience some of the books you've written and some of the projects you've worked on?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I must say a fiction author, so I've written a wide variety of fiction. I really don't like sticking with one genre. I've written a lot of different kinds of romance, historical novels, suspense novels, some science fiction thrown in there, just a little bit of everything. I really, like I said, don't like to stick in one lane too much, so that's made it interesting. And it's been really thrilling, excuse me, to get with Marie and have, you know, the opportunity to write another book that we have coming up here shortly called Everyday Magic, which is coming out May 14th. And so that one's going to be the next one for us. And obviously the book with Marie and Nicole doing the paranormal, the fact that those are both coming out at the same time But yeah, that's mostly what I've done in fiction. And I also started being a practicing medium in 2018, which is essentially mm-hmm. when I learned that I had mediumship abilities. And so that's something that I also have started to do.
Well, that's amazing. What was that like for you to start the mediumship? What initially kind of helped you notice those abilities and develop them?
Well, I had one of these things going where I really thought that I had psychic abilities. I've always understood that pretty much from the time I was a kid, but I spent a lot of time being a very skeptical person at the same time. I think I got that from my dad, that he was a cop. And so it's sort of like, yeah, sure, you know, I'm telling myself, yeah, really, no, that you're just making that up. It's just your imagination. And finally, in about 2018, I took some courses with Nicole Stevens, who's a fairly well-known mediumship person in medium, and she really helped me understand that some of the things that I had been doing for a good portion of my life were actually mediumship experiences. And a lot of times people will say, well, how is it that you can be a medium and not know that you are? And I think it's because a lot of people have this idea about what mediumship looks like and how a mediumship sees spirit. And it's not actually the same for everyone. I've given an example before of like the TV show Medium, which is based on Alison DeBlois' life. And because it's fiction, of course, they have to do, you know, a lot of embellishment and things. But that's not how every medium actually sees spirit. And so with mm-hmm. Nicole's help, I was able to finally get a handle on what that was. And it kind of freaked me out in a sense, because I kind of knew it in the background there somehow that that's what I was doing, but I kept trying to deny that. Not because I was afraid of it, but because I just didn't have the confidence at the time to think that I could do that. And so that's really where it began, was just, you know, thankfully, taking her courses and getting an idea of what was really going on got me started.
Well, it's amazing you were able to work on your abilities and develop them. It's great that, you know, you get to hear all these women's stories too, because I'm sure that's helpful, just getting to hear everyone else's background and learning, since you knew you had them from such a young age. But I know that it can be difficult, you know, navigating those skills and, you know, trying to figure them out, especially when you're young.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I consider myself. Oh, yeah. And I really consider myself a baby medium. That's what I call it, because, it has been such a short time since I've been doing this. So I'm still learning things. It's not like I'm finished mm-hmm. learning things. And I've studied with a few other mediums as well to try to get a perspective on, you know, what is their experience. And there are some things that they have taught me that have really helped me along the way, as opposed to just kind of stopping. So I'm going to continue to learn as I go.
Absolutely. And like I said, all of you women do so much amazing stuff in and out of the field. So Marie, can you also tell us, you know, about some of the books you've written and your other projects as well?
I think I have a little over 30 nonfiction books on everything from quantum physics and the paranormal to deja vu and anomalies of the mind, time travel, time anomalies, demons and concepts of heaven and hell, and celebrity ghosts and notorious hauntings. God, I'm trying to think. I've got so many, and they're on my website, because inevitably I won't remember some of the really good ones. So I hit 30. My new goal before I drop dead is to hit 50. But I'm moving into fiction more, because that was my first love. And Denise and I wrote a horror novel called The Dim, and I've got a couple of other novels out. I also have written and produced 3 short films and sold 2 screenplays, both of which premiered last year. Denise and I wrote a thriller for Lifetime Movie Network called Secrets of the Floorboards that came out in October. And I think it's airing again on Lifetime Movie Network. And then I had a romantic comedy I wrote with another gal, Deanna Ippolito, called Mistletoe Connection, and that premiered on Up TV in November. And Denise and I write a lot of scripts and TV pilots and stuff, and we're always pitching them. And but other than that, it doesn't leave me a whole lot of time to do anything else. So, but when I was growing up, I was always a writer. I mean, I was writing from a very young age, and I always had a book bag filled with notepads and pencils that I would take notes on. I'd go out in nature, and I'd pick up leaves and feathers, and I would identify them with my field guides. And I was a weird kid, but I also really, really, really badly wanted to be a jockey. Totally into horses. My dad was into the great racehorses, and I just got too big. But writing was always there. Like, everything that I was interested in, I could write about. And so that's where I came to the realization that if I write, I can be everything and anything.
There you go. I love that.
Doing the research, yeah. And I'm a regular, I'm a staff writer for New Dawn magazine, and I write a lot for other magazines, and you name it.
Well, that's amazing, and congratulations on all the movies you've gotten out. Lifetime, Up TV, I mean, that's incredible. What is that like for you to go out and pitch these for the audience wanting to know? What's your process?
Oh, my God. Denise, do we tell them the truth?
Well, you know, it's not as glamorous.
It's so unglamorous. Yeah, and we have, you know, we have an agent and a manager, and it's really, yeah. Right now the TV world is really suffering because of the two strikes and COVID, blah, blah, blah. Denise and I must pitch, I don't know, 20 things a week sometimes.
Pretty
and then my, you know, our agent is pitching too. Yeah. And most of the time you don't hear from anybody, or you might have some close calls. And but I will say that I have a lot of screenwriter friends, and the fact that I've had two things produced, even to get one, whether it's, you know, makes it to the movies or streaming or television, is a rarity. A lot of screenwriters sell their projects and they never see the light of day. So we're really lucky.
Yeah.
But it is unbelievably hard work. We have come up with so many great stories. And you feel like, man, you know, we got some great stories that we're telling, and come on, you know, somebody acknowledge it. It's very frustrating, and you really, and Denise knows from writing so much fiction, you know, you get used to rejection. I think Denise said a while back that you did try the traditional publishing route, which for me, it just doesn't work anymore. Self-publishing is the way to go.
Oh, yeah.
And really, honestly, with traditional publishing, as a quick aside for fiction, it actually, especially because e-publishing is so popular now, obviously there are a lot less barriers, but when I almost got a contract one time with Time Warner for a three-book series many years ago, and the agent I had at the time, the editor at Time Warner was really excited about that series, and yet when it got to the marketing table, it was the marketing department that decided, not the editor, that my books were not going to be a go. And so that was like the light bulb that went off that told me that quality didn't necessarily mean, or, you know, somebody's perception of your books being quality didn't necessarily mean that it was going to make it. And I think it's sometimes it's that way with the screenplay writing as well. So
it's so frustrating.
It's
but we do it because we write. We love to tell stories.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
For
sure.
We take a lot of our paranormal interests too. And Denise and I have written some, you know, a lot of paranormal stuff. And one of the things that we do is we try to channel the things that we love and that we're fascinated with into the more fictional storytelling.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And Nicole, you do amazing work in the paranormal as well. Obviously an author, and you do so much too with the Queen Mary and a ton of other stuff. Can you tell the audience about your work in the field and your projects?
Sure. So I have my own team here in San Diego. I founded it in 2009. It's the San Diego Paranormal Research Society. And so we basically just stay in San Diego, mainly Southern California, and we concentrate on sometimes private residents, but more historical and business. And then I'm also the California coordinator for the Ghost Research Society out in Chicago. And then, as you said, the Queen Mary is my second home. Just love that ship as you do. Been researching the history and paranormal activity on board for about 20 years. Just a fabulous, fabulous historical location. Writing, I haven't actually moved into fiction yet. I have ideas. I just haven't really ventured in that area. I've obviously stayed with nonfiction. And I've written three books on the Queen Mary. And then, of course, San Diego's Most Haunted, other ones as well. I think I have like 9 or 10 out, I think, now. The last one I did prior to Women on the Fringe was The Afterlife Chronicles, exploring the connection between life, death, and beyond. And speaking of self-publishing, I've been traditionally published with Schiffer and Haunted America, but I decided, because I think there's self-publishing is the way to go. So actually it was 2022, I just came out with my own imprint. And so now I'm self-published, and so The Afterlife Chronicles was my very first book that I self-published, and there's a lot of pros to self-publishing. So I have other books in the queue that I'm starting to write. And then in addition to that, I love to present. So I have about like 15, I think about 14 or 15 different topics on the paranormal, and I present at various places, conferences and venues, some universities and things in that nature. Let's see what else. And then I do want to plan, just for my own knowledge, but I do either this year or next year, I want to plan to get my PhD in parapsychology. So we'll get on that. So yeah, that's about it for me.
Wow. I mean, you guys are all so busy.
We're so lazy.
With collaborations and other projects. I mean, it's incredible.
Likewise, lady, you too.
Yeah. You know, I wonder, Sophia, I wonder if because we're female, and you guys can chime in, because I know sometimes for me I feel this way, do we feel like we have to do more to prove ourselves?
I wonder about that. Yeah, I wonder. I don't know. That's a good point.
Because there are a lot of guys out there who don't do half of the things that any of us four do. And I wonder, like, is that part of the whole, you know, it may be. Maybe that'll be in book two.
Right. I know.
I think it's just as much the fact that we're just obsessed with all of the paranormal. I mean, in other words,
yeah.
I mean, yes, maybe we do think we have to prove ourselves and that sort of thing. But on the other hand, the fact that we love it so much and it's mm-hmm. our obsession in many ways, that just means we're going to keep on doing it. I don't know if the day goes by that I'm not even reading something paranormal, fiction or nonfiction,
or thinking,
watching television programs, watching a movie. I mean, it's just part
that's
of me.
So true. You do it even if you don't get paid? And right now I have Terror in the Woods on the TV in the background with the volume down.
So I love it. I'm into
Cold Case Files. Woods, you guys.
The woods.
Yeah.
I love the woods. Oh, my gosh.
When Wednesday came out, my parents, would see certain scenes, and they would just both turn their heads and look at me, and I'd be like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, she had a birthday cake with a Grim Reaper on it, and I also had a birthday cake with a Grim Reaper on it.
Oh, yes.
Like,
you know it. I love it.
My little cousin said she loves Wednesday, but she's at the age where she's, figuring herself out. So, she says she likes Wednesday, but, I don't know. She you bring up Wednesday, she gets really excited. And I'm like, I took a photo shoot in a cemetery. She goes, oh, my God, a cemetery? No, why did you do that? And I'm thinking, Wednesday?
We're going to make weird kids out of so many people.
I love it. I want to see the new Beetlejuice movie. I wonder how that's going to, because I love that. I love the original. Oh, my God. I could watch it every day and not get tired of it, I swear.
Yeah. I was destined for this life when I find out that, I've always known, but one of my favorite movies when I was younger was, Sleepy Hollow, and I just feel like that's a really creepy thing for a toddler to like. So,
my parents let me watch. Yeah. Oh my God. I remember my parents let me watch
Poltergeist.
We're the weird kids.
To be weird women, not women on the
There
we
go.
Weird women.
Oh my God. Should we change the title? No, I'm kidding.
Like I said, I mean, it's the hour's gone by so fast getting to talk with you ladies. But please, before we close out, just let everyone know the websites where they can find you and go learn more about everything you do.
Okay. Denise, I'll start first. My website is deniseagnew.com. So don't put the A in there, even though I use that in my initials, but otherwise you'll probably get something that I have no idea where you'll go. I'm also on Instagram, but for the life of me, I can't remember. I think it's Creative Medium 888 is on Instagram.
Yes, that's yours.
And that is okay. Yeah, I should have called it something else, honestly. And that's the major places that I am: Instagram and Facebook. Also, Facebook. I'm at, what am I? Real quick. Hurry, Denise. Look. Okay. It's just facebook.com, denise.a.agnew. And that's what I have.
Yeah, my website's mariedjones.com, and I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, X, as pretty much Marie D. Jones, but you got to put the D in there because there's a Scottish theater actress named Marie Jones that I often get her messages.
Yeah.
And I also want to say that if you follow us on Facebook, we do post a link, it's a universal link, to a bunch of different places that Women on the Fringe is available, including Kobo, Apple Books, Google Books. Oh, there's a whole bunch more. So if you don't like buying from Amazon all the time, that link will take you to all the different alternate places that you can buy the book.
Nice.
And Nicole, really quick, where are you?
Let's see, my website. So I had authornicolestrickland.com. That link might still work. I actually added a URL, and that's Nicole D as in dog Strickland.com. And then let's see, I'm on, you know, Facebook. I have different pages, but Nicole D Strickland is my main page. And then Instagram, author Nicole Strickland. I'm on X too. I don't post a lot on there, but I'm on it, and of course LinkedIn as well. And then my podcast, I'm on hiatus, but I have several episodes if you're interested. The Afterlife Chronicles, I believe the website is afterlifechronicles.podbean.com, and then I'm coming out with a new show as well soon, the Life Inspiration Project. So, but that's it for me.
Okay, well, the show's definitely going to close out soon, so I don't want any of you to get cut off. But thank you all so much for coming on today. It's been wonderful getting to talk with each of you. And thank you again for including me in the book.
Absolutely.
You are such a pleasure to talk to. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. A fantastic show today, Sophia.
Absolutely. They were all such great guests. I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
Yeah, the book, Women on the Fringe, Groundbreaking Women of the Paranormal, in the Paranormal, available through Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. Next weekend, new reality paranormal investigators Sean Adam and Cody Dare, that's the 27th, and Ethereal Voices paranormal lead investigator Richard Johnson on June 8th. Other guests booking, so go to like the Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com, and we'll see you next week. And our audio's cutting out. Let me get this back. There we go.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.